Welcome to Encompass Church Podcast. We are so glad you've joined us today. To share your story of what God has been doing in you and through you, take a moment to email us at amen@encompass.org.au. Enjoy today's message.
So let's get into it. If I was to give a title to what I want to share with you, it would be God is not visiting you anymore. And it's going to get better. But just to say, what? No, he's not visiting you anymore. And let me start with a bit of a runway for you to get the meaning of that title. So have you ever noticed that in a movie, the music is giving you audio cues about something important that's either about to happen or happening? Have you noticed the way the music sort of da-na-na-na, da-na-na, and it sort of builds up, and you know, something that could be quite average, the music is telling you, take note of that. That was important. You know, that was significant. Anybody? Yeah? And so I reckon it would have been great for the Bible to come with an audio track. It really would. To help us realize when something significant is being said. Because we're just reading these words on paper and we come to something like Corinthians, where it actually says, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And we just keep reading. But really, there should be drums rolling, dramatic music, da-na-na-na, amazing. We just got told something incredibly significant and important, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where I want to take you. I want to unpack that. Now, try not to wrestle me too much, because in accepting this truth, we have to let go of some maybe old covenant thinking about who we are now because of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. But so let's go there, that we're being told that you, me, our physical body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit, not a shrine, not a building, not some place we need to go and visit on Sundays, but we ourselves are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I don't want you to be informed about that. I want you to feel it. I'd love you to experience it. What does that feel like? Now, that's needing to be reawakened. That's my goal. I'm up here with that goal, to reawaken in us, wow, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. So that's what I mean. God's not visiting you anymore. He's moved in. Hello, he's moved in. He's not visiting. He's not coming and going. He's taken up residence in you. We're not praying to some distant deity, or we're waiting for God to come down. Well, we just got told he's taken up residence permanently, powerfully, and personally in our lives. Now, I get it. Part of our issue is we're not ancient people anymore, but ancients knew what a temple was. It wasn't a church building. It was a place designated on earth, and I can't help it, I want to go da-na-na-na, where a deity would meet with people. So even the pagans had all these temples. Did you know, they couldn't just pop them up on any street corner. There was only one temple for every deity. And they had to travel all the way. Why? Because they believed that was the one place on earth where this deity was meeting with them. So that to them was a temple, right? And of course, we're being told we are the temple. So when you hear the word temple, you should hear the definition meeting place. It's a meeting place where this deity, or in our case, of course, God, is meeting with us. That's the whole intention of it. And here's the deal, that the temple They'd build the whole structure, but it wasn't an active temple yet until they put the image in the temple. Now it was activated as a meeting place, all right? So I'm putting all that together in your mind. Okay, so temples aren't just churches. They're a designated place on earth where the deity meets with humanity, all right? So that's when the temple becomes functional, when an image of the deity is placed in the temple. All right, so where was the very first temple meeting place for us as believers that's designated in the Bible? It was Eden. Eden was a garden, yes, but it was also a meeting place. We are told that God would come down and there would be this interaction going on. So the very first temple was a garden called Eden. It was a meeting place, all right? God created Eden, and what was the final creation that God placed in this temple that he'd built? It was, Genesis 1 says, then God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So what was the image that God placed in his temple to activate it? It was us. We are. This is why God forbids anyone to try and make an image of him, because he's saying, I already got one, and it's you. It's you. You were created in the light. Now, let me be clear. When we say we're created in the image of God, that doesn't mean we physically look like him. He's not saying we're a replica. He's saying we're a representative of him. All right? And so why did God forbid anyone to create an image? Because he said, the last thing I put in my temple was you to activate this actual meeting place. This is why human life is sacred, all right? So not because of what we do, but because we're stamped with an image of God, all right? And this is why to take the life of an animal is one thing, but to take the life of a human is attacking the image of God, and it's called murder. You're attacking the image of God because every human, no matter how broken, how far gone, how forgotten, carries a sacred worth in the sight of God, because every human is created in the likeness and image of God. And so I'm giving you this truth as a foundation for what I'd love you to discover about yourself this morning, that we weren't made to attend a temple, we were made to be one. Mm. And so God's desire from the beginning has been not only to dwell with us, but also in us. We have a God who's always wanted to be with us. God wanting to be with us. And so, yes, we messed up the first temple, and it was abandoned, but God didn't abandon his desire to meet with us. So he rolled out another temple, which some of us know as the Tabernacle of Moses. Now, that was a mobile meeting place. That was one that actually moved around. But we're told that they'd see this cloud come down, and there was this meeting that would go on. And then the temple became the temple in Jerusalem. Now it's built. It's the one place on earth that God had designated that that's my meeting place. If you want to meet with me, you've got to come to the temple in Jerusalem. And then, da-na-na-na, the temple moved again. It became a physical person called Jesus Christ, the incarnation. It says in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word dwelt means tabernacled. So that's a clue that now Jesus was a walking, talking, breathing, moving around temple, meeting place. The interlocking of two dimensions in a person. And we go, wow, that's fantastic. And this is why we call him Emmanuel, God within us, God with us, I should say. But he left. He went back to heaven. But the wonder continues because the temple then multiplied. And now we're told that what we first saw, the prototype of Jesus, this mobile portal person who was experiencing the overlap of two dimensions, is now being multiplied in believers, in God's people. Look at what it says in Romans. It says, Romans 8, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. And then Paul takes it up in the passage we've just alluded to in 1 Corinthians. He says, don't you know? See, he wasn't telling them in that moment they were becoming it. He was reminding them of something they'd forgotten. And that's what I reckon I'm up here trying to do today. All right? He says, you guys have forgotten. You are the temple, God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you. All right? So amazing. Jesus ascended. He was the first prototype of a mobile human interlocking of two dimensions. Right? Spirit of God. And now we're told that whole mobile temple concept has now been multiplied with us. Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he says, you know him intimately because he remains with you and will live inside you. Sad thing that some of these verses have just become fridge magnets. There's no dramatic music. We just got told something amazing. Holy Spirit is now within me, all right? And now, when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, some of us might have all sorts of vague or even spooky ideas. You know, we get the Father, we get Jesus, but Holy Spirit, ooh, what's that? Well, Jesus helps us with who he is and what he's come to do. He doesn't describe him as a force or a feeling, but a helper. He says, John 14, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. I'm a bit of a word junkie. So the word another means one just like me. So what Jesus was saying is, listen, I'm out of here, and I could only be in one place at one time, but the plan is that once I leave, you're all going to become mobile temples, mobile meeting places, the Spirit of God, this helper. Now he's saying, you're not going to get downgraded. You're not going to get a substitute. You're going to get one just like me that will give you revelation, that will give you strength, that will bring healing, that will bring dynamics of revelation and power. One just like me. This isn't a substitute. Oh, listen, I'm out of here. Sorry, guys, but it's plan B now. No. He says, one just like me. All right? So let that settle in for a minute. Wow. Like Paul, he's saying, come on, awaken to this. Realize it. That we're not just forgiven, we're filled. That we're not just cleaned up, we're changed. And so no religion comes near this. Most religions are reaching, or you obey the rules and you're striving and you're reaching. This is totally different. God is coming and inhabiting his people. It's about God not visiting but moving in. This is not self-improvement. This is new creation. This is, there is another type of human on the planet. And that's why we're referred to as new creation. 2 Corinthians says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Jesus uses words like, you'll be born again. You'll be born from above. All right, it's a new type of humanity. Come on, this is Christianity. This is the wonder and amazement of Christianity, right? So, okay, what does this actually mean then? Great theology, teaching, David, good on you. But come on, let's bring it down into how we should be thinking and behaving then. You know, again, Paul says, Romans 8, he says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Oh, breaking the drum kit right now with dramatic music. It's like, see, we just miss it. Oh, yeah, lives in me. Okay, that's great. Next verse. No, he says, just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he, this spirit that's now in you, will give life to your mortal bodies by this same spirit living within you. This is, yes, good theology, but it's actually an invitation to see something. To see something. All of us in this meeting that want to be healed right now, it's an invitation to visualize the Spirit of God rising up out of his temple and going to every pocket of sickness in your body, darkness in your body, finding a tumor and going, get out of this home. This is mine. Get out of here. That's the way you're meant to see that scripture. Spirit of God rising up, scanning through your body, finding trauma and says, hey, no more of that. Be healed. Peace comes now. Finding disorder in your blood system. Those of you, he rise. This is what this Bible verse is telling you. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So he's scanning. Okay, there's a pocket of darkness. I'm after that. You are trespassing on my home. Get out of my home. That's what this verse is seeking to convey to us. He's not going to tolerate any intruders in his house. This is my house. This is my tabernacle, this body. Now you don't belong here, all right? And there's another invisible aspect to us being the temple of the Holy Spirit that's not seen as I look around this auditorium, but it's seen in the spirit realm. And the Bible refers to this, Ephesians 1 says, when you believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Mm. So right now, in the spirit realm, there is a seal over your life, unseen to the physical eye, but known to the spirit realm. See, a seal, again, ancient thinking, that was the first century credit card. If I went shopping and I didn't have all the money with me, I'd get my seal out and I'd seal that and say, that's mine. I'll be back for that. But that's my property now. Bible says, you've been sealed. And the spirit realm, every demonic principality and power saw that. This is God's property. Hands off. To the accuser, shut your mouth. They are now forgiven and guilt-free. That's what it's saying, all right? The mark of ownership is there. To every angel, it's noticed, this person, they're on assignment. Look after them. They're on assignment. This person, they're my property, all right? So no trespassing. It's our passport in the kingdom. Come on. That's what we got to awaken to this. And then there's the aspect of being, if we're temples, we're being made holy. Now, don't be scared of that word holy. I'm a word junkie. So isn't it amazing, with the passage of time, these words become something they were never intended to mean? Did you know the word holy doesn't mean perfect? And it doesn't mean sinless. It means set apart for a designated purpose. Every Tuesday night, I take my wheelie bin and I make it holy. I set it apart from the house. I know that's probably inappropriate to say that about a wheelie, but that's the action of being holy. See, I don't know about your house, but in our house, there's a coffee mug that has on it World Best Dad. And another one that says Queen of the House. Those coffee mugs are set apart. They belong to someone. You don't touch those mugs, all right? They're holy. They're set apart for a special person, for a special use. That's the whole idea of actually being set apart, being holy, all right? So it's not because of what we've doing. It's not because we obey all the rules. That's not what holy is, all right? Holy is not you being perfect. It's you being drawn to different things. Have you noticed that about yourself since you've been a Christian? I don't want to watch that anymore. I don't want to talk like that anymore. Do you realize the very fact you're here this morning has set you apart from the population of Melbourne? You got in your car and you came here. That setting apart is the whole idea. Everybody else, they're doing, but you are here. And you give your money? You are behaving in a way that's setting you apart, right? And so that whole setting apart, the fact that I don't know what happened, but I just don't. I used to have all those words coming out my mouth, but now, I don't want to say that anymore. And now my workplace friends notice, wow, he just hit his hammer, thumb with a hammer, and beepity beep beep didn't come out. He said, oh, precious God, or something. Oh, I don't know. It's like, ouch. And they're going, wow, that's holiness. That's being set apart, all right? Not out of legalism, but out of alignment. So now what's happening is the Spirit of God's in us, and we're just not drawn to those things anymore. And that's the word. And Jesus gave a name to this difference, this setting apart. He said, you will receive power, Acts 1:8. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You notice he doesn't say you will do witnessing. This is not you preaching a sermon, this is you becoming the sermon. Because now you're set apart. And people looking at you, just doing different stuff, and they're going, wow. And Jesus said, it's that difference. It's that difference that you're bringing, the way that you behave. You gave to that. You cared about that. Wow, that's a different spirit. That's this whole work. So a witness isn't someone who just talks about God. They're the living evidence that God is real. All right? And so today I want to awaken you to the realization that Jesus never intended the Holy Spirit to be in you as a silent passenger. No, he moves, he speaks, he flows through your availability. Your availability. So we're not talking about possession. We're not talking about being taken over. There's still this divine cooperation and openness and willingness. And Jesus described what this was meant to be expressed in our lives, John 7. Believe in me so that the rivers of living water will burst out from where? Within you. right, flowing from your innermost being. How do we miss all that? So it's like, This is what he actually said it was coming from. But Jesus was prophesying because he knew that later on would mess it up and make it mean something different. So the writer, John, adds this. He says, Jesus was prophesying about the Holy Spirit that believers were being prepared to receive. So Jesus wasn't being poetic. He was being literal. That out of your innermost being would flow these expressions of the Spirit of God within you. And being good Jewish people who knew the scriptures, they knew that he was referring to Ezekiel 47, because it talks about out of the temple, rivers of healing and power and wholeness and restoration would flow from out of the temple. And now he's using that, he's reaching back to that and saying, that's you. That out of your innermost being will flow these rivers of living water. All right? So how do these rivers begin to flow? How do they? Well, it begins by us opening our life to Jesus Christ. Jesus, what he did for us was enable us to have an experience of God. Yes, we talk a lot about him removing the barriers of, you know, sin and issues in our lives, but really he enabled us to experience God. Christianity is an experience. Please don't make it just a belief. It's a belief that's intended to bring you into an experience. You know, years ago, I'll get the singers and musicians to come back and help me. I, believe it or not, was a hippie in the 70s and had no Christian upbringing and couldn't have quoted a Bible verse to save my life. And to cut a long story short, I encountered these people on the streets of Cairns, North Queensland, called Jesus people. And they're hippies that had come to Christ. They were now on the streets sharing. And, you know, they came up to me, spoke to me. But I just basically argued with them. And so to me, the Bible was nothing more than, you know, some guys that had mumbled around a campfire and somebody thought, let's write this down, it sounds good. And so that, to me, was the Bible. So later that night, this is where I learned one of the names of God is Jehovah Sneaky, right? Because later, you're listening to somebody who had no intention to become a Christian. I had no intention. So when we talk about encounter tonight, this is something very real to me. It's not just a name. So I'm lying there and I'm rehearsing, you know, I was probably a little bit rude and abrupt with those people. And I'm thinking, I don't know why I argued with them so much. You know, I've tried this, I've tried that. Why don't I try, you know, give Jesus a go? Give Jesus, that's it. Give Jesus a go. So this is my prayer. I said, Jesus, if you're there, come into my life and change me. Well, that's when I learned he's Jehovah Sneaky, because I felt this like liquid electricity touch me on the top of the head and slowly start moving through my body. And I knew it was in direct response to what I just said. Jesus, if you're there, come into my life and change me. And I knew, just somehow knew, this was not a feeling, this was a person. And he was forgiving me. And he was helping me and he was healing me. And I felt the presence of a person. going through my body, and I just lay there, and it went on for such a long time. But I was so lost in that. I started to weep. I haven't wept for so long. And I realized, oh my goodness, who knew? Jesus is real. Wow. And I mean, that was my beginning. That was my beginning. So am I up here speaking about something that's not very real to me? No, I'm not. The words and the way to explain came later. I just felt, wow, the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the cleansing of God. And you know what? That has never left me. I don't say that to brag, but that whole sense of God's power and life flowing through me has never left me. So partly what I'm doing right now is laying a platform for what I'd be. Will be a wonderful time tonight. I don't know what you've got planned, but I really encourage you to come out, to be a part. There's just special times. Some of you are thinking, well, hang on. How about the times when we really feel the presence of God? Well, that's God's sovereignty. But if you're waiting around for that to happen, you'll be as dry as an arrowroot biscuit while you're waiting. You don't need to wait. It's wonderful when His sovereign presence meets you as His temple. Well, that just kicks it to a whole new level. But, you know, we don't need to wait around for that. This is the beauty of the new covenant. It's wonderful. Let's believe for that, to His sovereign presence to meet us as His temples tonight. That's wonderful. But right now we can experience something very rich and real. So bow your heads with me, because I don't know everybody here and those watching online right now. Come on, everyone, be in this moment with me. Just while your head's bowed, your eyes are closed. You know, God, hundreds of years before He actually did it, told us of what He was going to do. He says, this is Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I'll put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. Hear what God's saying. He's not saying, I'm going to fix you. He's saying, I'm going to make you new. I'm going to take away your heavy heart, numbed by shame, worn down by life, and I'm going to give you a whole new life. What's the entry point to that? It's Jesus. He called Himself the door. The doors are an entry point. We must come through the door, Jesus Christ. And right now, because I don't know everyone here, I need to create a moment for people to come through the door, Jesus Christ. Maybe you are the prodigal that we sung about earlier, that once walked with God but drifted away. But you're back. You're the prodigal that's returned today. But you know you need to get right with God before you leave this place today. This is not about earning something. This is about receiving someone. And if you're ready to pray, Jesus, I need you. I believe you died for me. I turn my old life over to you to receive this new life that you promised. Fill me now with your spirit, with your. If you're ready to pray a prayer like that, then it'll be my awesome privilege to lead you in that prayer right here. While every eye is closed, every head bowed, just people helping me because I don't want to miss anyone, because I need to know who I'm praying with and who I'm praying for. While no one else is looking around, I'm going to ask you to say, yeah, that's me, David. I'm ready to get my life right with God before I leave this place today. I know I've strayed. I need to return to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you didn't realize you needed to. You thought maybe coming to church was enough, and what I'm saying now is a bit of a surprise to you. But if you can't point, listen, if you can't point to a time in your life where you knowingly, willingly, and intentionally opened your life to Jesus, you need to do it today. This is something that doesn't come through church attendance, knowing Bible scriptures, hanging around and doing Christian things. This is a time in our life where we take our free will and we choose Jesus with it. That's worship. God doesn't want us to be robotic. He wants us to take the freedom that He gave us and choose Him with it. And if you didn't realize there needed to be a time in your life where you needed to do that, you need to do it today. So if that's you, and you're ready to pray this prayer with me, I'm going to lead you in it. Everybody in the room will say this prayer with you. This is not going to be embarrassing and cringy. I'm not inviting you into something that's going to make you embarrassed. Everyone will pray it with you. But right now, if that's you and you're ready to pray this prayer, lift your hand up really high so I can see your hand. God bless you, sir. I see your hand there. Who else? You can put your hand down now. Thank you, sir. Anyone else in this room? Another hand over there. Fantastic. Wonderful. Just pop your hand down. Anyone else? Looking around this room. Young person, older person. You say, wow, I didn't expect to be in this moment. Well, welcome. You're here. Anyone else? Before we pray, just lift your hand and say, yeah, that's me, David. I want to get right with God before I leave this place. I see your hand up the back. Anyone else? All right. Come on, let's all put our hand on our heart right now. Say this with me, everybody in this room. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you to be the Savior of the world. And today, I receive you as my Savior. Come into my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for a new beginning. I receive it now, and I thank you for it. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for those people.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Encompass Church. If today's message has impacted you and you want to give your life to Jesus, if you need prayer, or if you want to get connected to the church, please contact us at office@encompass.org.au. Never miss a moment by following us online. Search for Encompass Church on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.